This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Khususan ala sayyidi rusul wa khatim al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya. Amma ba'd. Okay. So inshallah we'll start our class. We are continuing Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah ta'ala's book Ar-Rasul Al-Mu'allim, in which we study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the perspective of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being an educator, a teacher. In our last class, we discussed the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslim, and how Sheikh Abdul Fattah mentioned that this obligation applies both to the men and women of our community and society. I shared some examples in this regard, specifically regarding female scholarship throughout history. And if someone wishes to study this issue further, Dr. Akram's book, Al-Muhadithat, is very valuable, as he has even more references in there. But we move forward today. The chapter Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah ta'ala studies, he has a brief discussion on what kind of teacher Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. Bismillah, go ahead.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wasalamu ala Rasulullah. A quick survey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's merits and sublime character in the field of education. We greatly enjoy and benefit from the first teacher and a lettered prophet regarding all aspects of his lifestyle, both in the means and objectives. In these few pages, we can do no more than pursue some of his methods with regard to teaching and education. As for the major objectives which this great teacher paid attention to, there are other fields of discussion concerning them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability and good fortune to pursue them as well. This teacher of goodness, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite being unable to read or write, was bestowed with such knowledge by Allah ta'ala that surpassed that of every other human being. Allah ta'ala completed his favor upon him by bestowing him with an unusual, comprehensive, and unique personality. Allah ta'ala displays his kindness towards him by saying, "He taught you that which you were unable to learn, and Allah's favor upon you is extremely great."
So here, the author, he points out that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, it teaches us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a unique approach to the means and objectives of education. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam adopted unique means. مِن كُلِّ جَانِبٍ مِن جَوَانِبِ هَدْيِهِ فِي الْوَسَائِلِ وَالْغَايَاتِ. Wasail, the means. Ghayat, the goals and objectives. So when a person sits to educate or study, you need to first and foremost identify your objective. What are you trying to accomplish here? What are you trying to accomplish from this knowledge, from this gathering? And then we need to now figure out what are the means to accomplishing this goal or these goals. Now, he then says that the greater goals of seeking knowledge is something that can be studied at another point, but he wants to start off by studying the methodology, the asalib of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah ta'ala points out that هذا المعلم للخير صلى الله عليه وسلم على أنه أمي. Besides the fact, despite the fact that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unlettered, لا يقرأ ولا يكتب, he could not read, nor can Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam write. قد منحه الله تعالى العلم الذي لا يدانيه أحد من البشر. Despite his him being an ummi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon him knowledge that no other creation can ever come close to claiming. And to support this, he cites the ayah of Surah An-Nisa 113. وَعَلَّمَ كَمَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. That he taught you that which you do not know. That which you do not know. From the matters of Sharia, from matters of khayr and shar, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu an commented on the ayah explaining, min al khayri wa shar, from matters of evil and good, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given this knowledge. Similarly, the Haq, while commenting on the ayah, he said, min akhbar al awwalina wal akhirin, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given knowledge of those who came before and also those that will come later on. Now, when it comes to the knowledge of the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, and specifically Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a need for a brief discussion. Because unfortunately, many people have fallen here and have made a grave mistake, the implications of which impact a person's aqidah and their Islam, their iman. Knowledge by default, all knowledge belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا بالاستثناء. So لا علم لنا لنفي الجنس. We have no knowledge. Illa, except for, so now we're making an exclusion. Ma allamtana, that which you have taught us. The way this ayah is laid out before us basically sets our aqidah. It sets our belief straight. La ilma lana, there is no knowledge that we have. Any ilm that we have in reality is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regardless of which science, which subject, any skill set, this is all a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Illa ma allamtana. We have no knowledge but that which you have given us. The Anbiya alayhim salam, their case is the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them knowledge that is superior to all of mankind. We as human beings can acquire knowledge. But to our knowledge, there is a speculative nature, where there is speculation that occurs. Human beings flip and flop between their ideologies, their philosophies. The Anbiya alayhim as-salam come with knowledge that is certain. There is no second question. There is no doubt in what they say. Specifically, when it comes to matters of the deen. Right? Sometimes the Prophet of Allah speaks min haythiyat al-bashar. And then other times, meaning as a human being, as an average person, the Prophet of Allah makes a contribution to a conversation, not from a place of revelation, not from the position of being a prophet, but as a common person from the people. The greatest example of this is the mas'ala of Ta'bir al-Nakhl. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Medina Munawwara, they were farmers there. These people were known for their agriculture. One of the practices they had was something called ta'bir al-nakhl, which means cross-pollination, right? They would take different plants and mix them and grow them accordingly. They found this to be very effective. At face value, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't like this practice because the Prophet of Allah didn't like people mixing the creation of Allah, that one thing is taken and mixed with another thing. So he said, let everything be. The Sahaba listened to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and their crops grew fewer that year. They came and told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to them, أَنْتُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِأُمُورِ دُنْيَاكُمْ, that you are more knowledgeable of your worldly affairs. You have tajruba, you have experience in agriculture and farming more than I have, so you manage your own affairs. This is not to do with the deen. However, umur diniya, matters that relate to the deen, revelation is absolute in that regard. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he grants the Anbiya alayhim salam knowledge, and this is what the ayah says, وَعَلَّمَ كَمَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ, that he gave you knowledge of that which you do not know. وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. Now, if we backtrack in that same ayah and look at what's immediately before this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْكَ no. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمُ. Anyone, someone pull it up.
فَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ وَرَحْمَتُهُ لَهَمَّتْ طَائِفَةٌ مِنْهُمْ أَنْ يَضِلُّوكَ وَلَا يَضِلُّونَ إِلَّا أَنْفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَضُرُّونَكَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ.
وَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمُ. This is the ayah. وَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمُ. Now we look at this ayah, what do we see? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. That this knowledge that is being praised later on in that very same ayah, وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا, that Allah's favor upon you is great. That ayah, that praise that's coming for knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quantifies that in the first part of the ayah. وَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ, that He granted you both the kitab, which is the Quran revelation, wal-hikmah and nubuwa, prophethood. This is also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hikmah generally, when mentioned in the Quran, comes in the meaning of nubuwa. This is why the ulama, those who claim that Dawud alayhi salam was a nabi, they made this argument based off of the ayah, walaqad atayna luqman al-hikmah. Because the word hikmah, when used in the Quran, generally comes in the meaning of nubuwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that we revealed unto Him the kitab, the Quran, and the wisdom. And He taught you that which you do not know. Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he gathers a few points together. One thing he says, he brings the ayah of Surah Al-Isra. He says, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, that you have not been given knowledge but a small amount, a little bit. Then after that, he cites the ayah that قُلْ مَتَاعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ, that everything in the world, all the blessings and all the material possessions of the world, in reality are nothing more than a small amount. And after all of this, out of that small amount of knowledge that exists in the world and all the material things that exist in the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا, that Allah has granted you a great favor by giving you knowledge, therefore pointing out that the greatest thing from all the possessions of this dunya is ilm. It's knowledge. That out of this very little that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, out of this very little that Allah azza wa jal has given us, وَذَلِكَ يَدُلُّ عَلَى غَايَةِ شَرَفِ الْعِلْمِ. Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi. وَذَلِكَ يَدُلُّ عَلَى غَايَةِ شَرَفِ الْعِلْمِ. This is indicative to how great the rank and how great the status of knowledge and the people of knowledge is. So, if you're wondering what's the issue here, what's the issue of aqidah that we need to be concerned of and worried of, there are some who claim that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has access to knowledge at default just as Allah does. Meaning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has ilmul ghaib just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ilmul ghaib. There are some incidents cited. One sahabi, you can find this narration in the Arba'een of Imam al-Nawawi. He said that I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to ask the Prophet of Allah about evil and good. He said, I sat in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam before I even uttered my statement. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, جِئْتَ تَسْأَلْنِي عَنِ الْخَيْرِ وَالشَّرِ, that you came to ask me about khayr and shar. Before he even said it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed him, so they use this as an example. Similarly, we have the example of Umayr ibn Wahab, who traveled from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara with the intent of assassinating Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had a poisoned weapon. And before he even made his move, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed him. And it became very clear to him that there was no way he could know unless there was revelation. So they cite this as an example. And there are other examples cited too. The proper understanding of all of these examples is one thing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had knowledge of these incidents through revelation. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did have knowledge of incidents that would occur in the future. He had intimate knowledge of things that occurred in the past. But this was the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Had Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had access to knowledge without any boundary at all, and his knowledge was equivalent to the knowledge of Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, then what is the meaning of the ayah, وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, even if I had the knowledge, وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ, even if I had knowledge of the unseen, لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ, I wouldn't be able to increase you in good, meaning that's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our belief is, the position of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah in this regard is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's knowledge was extraordinary. He received revelation. He had knowledge that was beyond the knowledge of any human being. But at the end of the day, all knowledge that he had was a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we were to build the case here in this regard, we can easily build a very strong case. I'll cite one example and then we'll move forward. The example of the three questions that were presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through the Jews of Medina Munawwara. They asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the ruh. They asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding Dhul Qarnayn. They asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding Ashabul Kahf, the youth who sought refuge in the cave. When they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam these questions, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I will give you the answer, but in that moment he did not say, Inshallah. Days passed by, no revelation. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Say Inshallah first. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتَ وَقُلْ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَهْدِيَنِ رَبِّي لِأَقْرَبَ مِنْ هَذَا رَشَدًا. Remember your Lord when you forget, right? You remember Allah, you ask Allah. And now, once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says is inshallah, revelation starts. And as that revelation comes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very eloquently responds to their questions, right? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he answers everything they ask in detail, but after revelation. So this is something that you must bear in mind. Here, he cites the ayah, وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمُ وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. Yes.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to spread and disseminate knowledge by proclaiming it among the people. He was in the true sense of the world the first teacher of goodness in this world, in terms of the beauty of his speech, the eloquence of his
tongue. See, he quantifies it. That when we say Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the true first teacher, what do we mean by that? We're not just talking about someone teaching another person another word, because that's, in its most raw definition, that's existed prior to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What we're speaking of is a comprehensive approach to education, from content to objectives to methodology, approach, mentorship, all of this brought together in one person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was truly the first teacher. So he says, فَنَهَذَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَنْشُرُ الْعِلْمَ فِي النَّاسِ وَيُذِعُهُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi began to educate people and spread knowledge. وَكَانَ بِحَقِّ الْمُعَلِّمِ الْأَوَّلِ لِلْخَيْرِ فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا. And then he says, فِي جَمَالِ بَيَانِهِ وَفَصَاحَةِ لِسَانِهِ وَصَنَاعَةِ مَنْطِقِهِ وَحْلَاوَةِ أُسْلُوبِهِ وَلُطْفِ إِشَارَتِهِ وَإِشْرَاقِ رُوحِهِ وَرَحَابَةِ صَدْرِهِ وَرِقَّةِ قَلْبِهِ وَوَفْرَةِ حَنَانِهِ وَحَكِيمِ شِدَّتِهِ وَعَظِيمِ انْتِبَاهِهِ وَسُمُوِّ ذَكَائِهِ وَبَالِغِ عَنَايَتِهِ وَكَثِيرِ رِفْقِهِ بِالنَّاسِ حَتَّى قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ مُعَلِّمًا. That I was sent as an educator. Yes.
In terms of the beauty of his speech, the eloquence of his tongue, the clarity of his expression, the sweetness of his methodology, the subtle references, effulgent spirit, magnanimity, kindheartedness, extreme compassion, strong and forceful wisdom, great foresight, high intelligence, extreme concern, and abundant kindness to people. This can be understood from his own words regarding himself, "I have been sent as a teacher." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warns against knowledge which is of no benefit. Before delving into Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teaching methods, it would be appropriate to mention a few words about the grave concern and warning of this noble teacher against acquiring knowledge which is of no benefit. He would often even supplicate against such a practice.
So here, Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghuddah rahimahullah ta'ala points out that it's important to understand as we embark on this journey of studying Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's methodology in education, that not all knowledge is praiseworthy. That's one of the first realizations. That not all education, not all knowledge is good for you, not all information is good. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would frequently make dua to Allah, "Ya Allah, protect me from knowledge that is harmful." And what is this harmful knowledge? هو العلم الذي يؤدي إلى ضرر لصاحبه أو لغيره من الناس. It is that knowledge which leads to harm to the individual or to others. Any sort of knowledge that brings harm to the self or brings harm to others is knowledge you should leave. Why? إذ الوسيلة إلى الشر شر بلا ريب. Because a path to knowledge, a path to harm is harmful in itself. This is stuff that you should avoid. Now, sometimes when a person gains certain knowledge, they learn how to manipulate others. They learn how to harm other people. This sort of knowledge should be avoided. People wonder, you know, is that a thing? Can knowledge really be bad for you? Why can't I have access to all knowledge? Why can't I just go around reading everything that's been published in the world? First and foremost, you have to understand that overloading yourself with knowledge is only going to cause you to become overwhelmed. And when you engage excessively with the means, it's easy to forget the goal and objective. Knowledge has to have a goal and objective, as we started off by discussing. So you need to remember what the goals and objectives are. And then take knowledge to help you reach that goal, help you reach that objective. And this is an agreed upon reality that there are certain things that are beneficial for some, while at the same time, those very same things are harmful for others. Fire, a blacksmith needs it, a child doesn't. A blade, someone who's a skilled chef, they can handle any sharpness on any blade. A child, again, they shouldn't. In order for knowledge to be beneficial, you have to very carefully craft your way there. This is very dangerous when people skip the early phases of seeking knowledge in a particular discipline and jump right to the end. This is the common problem that we have in our community, and one of the great downsides to seeking knowledge online through reading articles and listening to random YouTube lectures. Because sometimes you may listen to a lecture or read something in an article that is probably more appropriate and suitable for students of that discipline who have committed years of their life versus someone who hasn't committed any time, and now you're reading this subject matter and your mind is spinning and you feel that you have the right to hold a position in this regard, or let alone that, it just causes you to be lost. You're puzzled. So when you seek knowledge, you have to build from the bottom up. When you build properly, when you start from the bottom, specifically when we speak of Islamic knowledge, you have to build your way from the bottom up. That starts by learning the fundamentals and learning the basics, learning things that you may already know, but reading them again, reading them with the teacher, taking it step by step. Everything, whether it's tafsir of the Quran, you want to do tafsir of the Quran, marhaban, come and do it. But before you do it, there are a list of things that we need to check off the box first. Then we can go and do that. And this applies with anything and everything. You want to compete in any sport at an athletic level, you know, where you're talking about true competition, you have to build your way up to it. You can't just jump to level 10 without doing the first 9 levels and feel that you have any credibility in this regard. Forget credibility for others, you are going to harm yourself. This is why we are told, كَلِّمُ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ عُقُولِهِمْ, that you speak to people based off of their levels. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنزِلُ النَّاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ. Now the issue with this is, for many folks, this is a very difficult conversation to have, because that means that we are putting individuals in tiers. And that means that you are claiming that in this regard, I am inferior and there's someone superior to me. And my friends, that's the first realization you will need to come to. You will need to come to this realization. You will need to accept it, right? As Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, he points out the traits of seeking knowledge, right? That, and one of the things that he says is that you have to be humble. The traits of seeking knowledge. He has a line of poetry. It's a really famous one. He talks about intelligence and sacrifice, and that you have to have desire, and you have to be willing to travel, and you also need to be sincere. And he points out that you need to also be patient, right? And then he talks about this, اسبر على مر الجفا من معلمي. اسبر على مر الجفا من معلمي. That you have to be patient with your instructor and your teacher. So this mindset needs to be created. And when it exists, you now slowly grow and you build your way to an end goal. When ilm is tadrijan, that's why they say the word ta'lim. Ta'lim, seeking knowledge, gaining education, it's on the scale of tafi'il. Tafi'il, i'lam is to announce something all at once. That's if'al. If'al is when a verb occurs all at once. So inzal, when revelation occurred all at once. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. That's why the ulama, they say this was a revelation of the entire Quran at once to the heavens of the earth. Now that very same ilm, if you move it from if'al, from the scale of if'al, the Arabic scale of if'al, to taf'il, tanzil, wa nazzalnahu tanzila, it now gives the meaning of what? Something occurring gradually. That's why the word tarbiyah, it occurs tadrijan, it occurs gradually. Ta'lim as well, knowledge is something that should come into a person's life gradually. For that to occur, it's important that you find gatherings of knowledge that you stick with, that you find a group of people who you're studying with, or scholars that you're with, and you take the long route. Because the route itself, this long path, is the destination. Right? Once you seek knowledge in this format, you begin to realize that this is the destination and there's nothing beyond it. There's no point where you say that I am a full-blown scholar at this point. The more you seek knowledge, it becomes clear that that end goal, that end sort of destination doesn't exist. For some people, that's frustrating because they're very keen on becoming scholars. While for others who have the right mentorship, they appreciate being students and they realize that this is where I'm always going to be. This is my comfort zone. Right? This is where I'm going to be. So not all knowledge is beneficial for everyone. Sometimes, as he says, وَرُبَّ شَخْصٍ يَنْفَعُهُ الْجَهْلُ بِبَعْضِ الْأُمُورِ. At times, it will be beneficial for someone to remain ignorant of a particular matter. That's better for them not to know of it. وَكَمْ مِنْ إِنسَانٍ خَاضَ فُضُولًا مِنْهُ فِي عِلْمٍ لَا حَاجَةَ لَهُ بِهِ فَاسْتَضَرَّ بِهِ فِي دِينِهِ أَوْ دُنْيَاهُ وَأَضَاعَ فِيهِ جُزْءًا كَبِيرًا مِنْ عُمْرِهِ. That how many times does a person start gaining knowledge of the obscure and randomness, things that don't benefit them, rather to the contrary, they harm them, and they've wasted years of their life seeking knowledge. But the knowledge was not, it wasn't strategic. Their approach wasn't strategic. We were talking about this in one of the classes earlier today. This is basically Reddit. This is literally what? Reddit, where they have knowledge of everything in the dunya. There's Lawh Mahfuz and there's Reddit. Everything in the world that you want, it's there. Now there are folks who just sit there on these subs and they sit there and they go one after the other, after the other, after the other. And it's just garbage cooking in their mind. It's like they've taken all the contents of their bin and they put it in a pot. And they've turned the stove on and they're cooking their garbage. That's what's happening. And it just smells horrible and it's decaying and it's rotting away in there. Because most of those conversations are not led by specialists and they don't follow a proper methodology of education, right? It has a lot of utility as well, don't get me wrong, right? You need tutorials, you need to solve something quick. It has benefit, but you have to be careful on how you engage in these areas, because as you're sitting there and reading and just reading and reading, I can't tell you the number of times where young folks have told me that their greatest fitna of iman came from reading those subreddits, right? They went to the Muslim one thinking that, you know what, I'll read about Islam and learn my deen. But as they went there, they read more kufr and more kufr and more kufr. And they read so much kufr there that now their mind is polluted. And people who speak on these forums, they speak with a ton of confidence. It's a ton of, they really present themselves as if they are the authority. So now you're sitting there and you're thinking, whoa, this dude really blew the whole religion of Islam out of the water. You lose confidence. If this person who's reading this was grounded in their faith and then decided to read an opposing view, that's mashallah, that's a good thing. There's no haraj in that. We aren't telling people that you shouldn't read opposing views, but you have to ground yourself first. There is an individual who says that I wish to go to college and take a class on philosophy. Mashi, go for it. May Allah give barakah. But before you take that class on, you know, philosophy, where religion for sure will be mocked and people will ask those hard questions, before you do that, how about you first study your deen first? Understand how Muslim scholars approach religion and theology from a philosophical lens. And it's not as if there isn't much written there, mashallah. I mean, ulama of the past and present continue to contribute in this area. You ground yourself first, then move forward. You won't be intimidated, right? You have to have ilm, because ilm gives you confidence and that allows you to walk in dark alleys with your chest propped up high because you're not afraid to be attacked. You know that your opponent only has sound, right? They can only talk. As for substance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept that in revelation. Because the ilm of the insan is dhanni, speculative, where we were earlier. But revelation is definitive. Ala kulli hal, the mountain can turn left to right from one city to another. Ilm of wahi can never be wrong. It is always in its place. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Right, that this is the truth. Yes.
Hadith 5. Muslim narrates on the authority of Zayd ibn al-Aqtan radiallahu anhu, who said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from knowledge which is of no benefit, from a heart that is not fearful, a soul that is not satisfied, and a dua that is not answered.
All four things are connected, actually. All four things are connected. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Allah, I seek refuge from knowledge that isn't beneficial. What's the next thing that he made dua for? Save me from a heart that isn't fearful. Because when the heart is not in place, the knowledge will not benefit. This is why you have to develop your heart as you're seeking knowledge. And then right next to that, وَمِن نَفْسٍ لَا تَشْبَعْ, a lower self that is just greedy, because that's how the heart gets corrupted. The heart gets corrupted by the nafs, where now your nafs is out of control. Your nafs desires all the dunya that it can see. Your lower self is polluted and it sees things in a perverted way. Now this corrupted nafs will impact the heart, and as it impacts the heart, the knowledge you gain, which is supposed to settle in that heart, will also be corrupt. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes dua for all of them. And then the last one, he says, وَمِن دَعْوَةٍ لَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهَا. And O Allah, I seek protection from a dua that isn't accepted, because ultimately purifying the nafs, I should say, controlling the nafs, purifying the heart, and obtaining beneficial knowledge is all the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this was the great gift of Allah to you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a teacher both in word and deed. This dua of his is therefore a directive to both the teacher and the student, to only teach or learn whatever is beneficial in terms of the pure sharia.
Yes.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's personality as a teacher.
We'll stop here. So in this passage, today's class, the main point of emphasis is be mindful of what knowledge you gain, who you gain it from, and be mindful of what stage you are yourself. There is a desire to jump. People want to quickly jump to the advanced level of studying. If you did this in any sport, if you try to do this in boxing, you try to get in the ring with an advanced fighter, they would shatter your glass jaw in seconds. You'd have to pick up the pieces from the ground. The same thing will happen to you spiritually, unfortunately. Because when you're standing with heavy hitters, and if you can't understand what they're saying, if you don't appreciate the content, the perspective, it'll wipe you off your feet. So a person who is a beginner, it's important that they study the deen as a beginner. I've seen this happen a lot, where there is a person who has bare minimum knowledge of Islam, whether it's a stay-at-home mother or a young man or woman from our community going to college. They haven't, because of their life realities and their circumstances, they haven't had the chance to study the deen. Now when they're at the MSA, they decide to give a khutbah or two for whatever reason, and ego sets in that I know. They start opening up hadith books and they're citing siha and giving verdicts that this is the verdict in Islam in this regard because of this, and they start citing proofs and they're doing ishtihad on the fly, basically just fabricating opinions as they go on the fly because they feel empowered. Or that sister who started learning to read hadith and Quran and now feels that she has the authority to go on WhatsApp groups and go on Facebook and start issuing verdicts left and right. A lot of harm is caused by this. A lot of harm is caused. If you have a desire to serve the community in that capacity, you have to put the time in, my friends. Build yourself. Reading information will give you guidance on a particular issue, but when you study knowledge holistically and properly, it builds your mindset and helps you develop a proper, wholesome worldview. That's what you need. Understanding these things. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us tawfiq and makes us from the inheritors of true beneficial knowledge. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.